Blog Talk Radio.
Was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon, and I am the spokesman for the King of Glory. And I say again, welcome to Truth Ministry. So as of the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. So it's good to be here. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? The psalmist says, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. So it's good to be here just one more time. And we'd like to welcome all of our LinkedIn connections, all of our Facebook friends, all of our Blog Talk friends, and all of our Twitter followers to Truth Ministry. Then also all of our Instagram followers, should you be listening. It's good to be here just one more time. And so our ongoing theme, The Godhead, and so we're in part three, our Only Believe series, St. Paul's Letter to Timothy. So we've been going through the book of Timothy, and so we're almost done with the first book. So this is St. Paul, the apostle, to the Gentiles, as he's writing to his son Timothy in the gospel. And we have been going through this particular pastoral epistle. So it's actually instructions, leadership instructions is what it is in this particular these letters. He's letting him know how he should walk, and also the believers that are in his care, how they should walk. So, and as I always would like to ask you the question, and that is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? So, because I know a lot of people are talking about the Bible and say they are believers, but that's the question. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? The Holy Ghost was not just for the apostles or the early church in the book of Acts, but the Holy Ghost is for everyone that believeth. And that's where salvation is in the book of Acts. And so they were in the Gospels ushering in a new and living way. And so Jesus, the Messiah, and John the Baptist, which was the forerunner, they had the same message: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So the gospel was established after the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He ascended on high, led captivity captive. And St. Paul says, what is it? When he's talking about that, when he saith, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He's asking a question. Then he's going on here, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So that's so very important. So we want you to know, as we say every time when we do this broadcast, this truth ministry on Blog Talk Radio, we want you to know, as we know, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and in you all, as St. Paul is reminding the Ephesian church of who they are earlier in his letter to the Ephesians, and letting them know about their position and letting them know about the Lord and how he worked and is working, and the people that he is working through, as he goes on to say that in the 11th verse is so important. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. That's all one. That's not fivefold. That's four. There is no comma in between pastors and teachers. And so it's so imperative nowadays. This, like about the last 20 years or so, all of these folks, the ones that are coming forth saying they are apostles. And the Lord chose 12 apostles. There's 12 names in the in the foundations in the New Jerusalem. So I'd like to know where these other people, they need understanding about an apostle, because you can't just name or crown yourself an apostle. And then I also, on last week, I misspoke. So I just want to clarify something that I said, and that is all of the apostles that the Lord chose, when he chose the 12, they were men. He did not choose any women to be apostles. He does have, it's like he said, it shall come to pass in Joel 2:28, I will, saith the God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. Upon my servants and handmaids will I pour out of my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. So that ends right there, because you don't want to go into another dispensation. So he does have, it doesn't matter, there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female in Christ. And so he does have male and female preachers, because as far as God is concerned, we are neuter gender, even in the church. He has his order. And so, but he just happened, the 12 apostles that he chose were men. So there are no apostles today. And I mean, I'm not afraid to say it. And I've been in church, this is my 42nd year. So I've just seen a few things, and I never thought I'd see. So I see where we have come to. You got all these slick-talking people coming forth. The Lord calls them false teachers and false prophets. John writes about Antichrist. John writes about false prophets. Peter writes about false teachers. So, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, I serve you notice that they are here. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is Antichrist. Everybody don't know who Jesus is. So that John said, he that knoweth God heareth us. So I just went through the epistles of John after I finished this book of St. John. Us who, John says, he that knoweth God heareth us. He's talking about not just himself, but all the other apostles. So it doesn't matter. These people want to put folks in jail. Put people in heaven that don't even know who the Lord is. They're explaining the Bible away. They're calling people to the altar, telling them to believe, and they're saved, and that is a lie from hell. Because the Bible say in Mark 16 and 15, he told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So you got to stay with the word. So that's exactly what I intend to do by the grace of God. I am staying with the word. And it doesn't matter. And I mean, just like I said, should any spies be trying to listen in, help yourself. Because I have authority. Because I'm a member of an apostolic organization. I'm an ordained elder. And just like I said, and some people don't like it, and I don't care, because the fact of the matter is, you get ordained an elder, you don't get ordained no more. If you are a pastor, in reality, you are a bishop. There's only one bishop with the big B, like I was telling somebody. I already said what the scripture says. There's neither bond nor free, male nor female. We're all one in Christ Jesus. So the thing is that, some people want to be a Suffragan bishop in the Pentecostal Assemblies of the World. They want to be a bishop. I mean, they think, I'm favored and all that. I mean, that's ridiculous because it doesn't matter. The question is, what do you know? That ain't no favor. That's a position. That's responsibility. It's a responsibility to be an under-shepherd, which is a pastor. So if you are a pastor, you are a bishop with a little B. And so the word is the word, and that's what we don't like. We don't. Some people didn't really. They always brag on how long they've been in church, but they weren't saved all the time. And so it doesn't matter. There's no seniority over here. So what really matters is, what do you know? Are you able to help somebody? Because that's what it is. It's about serving. It's about helping. It's about using. Exercising the gift that God has given you to help somebody, not to exalt yourself or to stick your chest out, but to help somebody, because we all got to miss hell. We all got to sow our soul to save, and that is what it's all about. Like St. Paul said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and he went on to say, of whom I am chief. So in other words, he realized how horrible he was, and even me, I was a real fool before I got saved, but I got the victory. I got it. So when I left, I didn't go back. So I'm here, and I'm a witness of God's miraculous saving and keeping power. Was it easy? No, it wasn't. Stuff I went through, and so I had to realize that the Lord says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. I've been threatened. Lots of things have been done. There was danger, like we say, seen and unseen. That's okay. I'm here by the grace of God, and I'm mature and older now, and then I'm not gonna be moved. I'm gonna stay with the word, like St. Paul told Timothy, and we haven't got there yet. We're gonna get there, the grace of God. And that is, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. He goes on to say, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So it's people doing all kinds of things, but you got to follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And so the word is right. You know, these people doing all kinds of things and making up all kinds of things, but God is a keeper. Whatever state you in, like St. Paul said, I have learned, whatever state I am, therewith to be content. So you can have desires, but you still can make it. You can be clean. You can live holy, because that's why he gave us the Holy Ghost. It is the earnest of our inheritance. It is the power of God. St. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So that's why he was saying. They was asking him about, Lord, are you going to restore again the kingdom to Israel? Before he ascended back, after he had been seen of them 40 days, speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God, commanded them that they should not depart, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. And then that's when they were saying, will you at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? He let them know, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the other parts of the earth. He had said those words. He stepped on a cloud and was received out of their sight. Two angels stood by, ye men of Israel, why stand ye gazing? This same Jesus which is taken up is going to come in like manner. That's the second coming. That's not the rapture of the church. Rapture of the church, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That is the rapture of the church. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. The trumpet shall sound, and we shall be changed. And he goes on to say, he's talking about all the different kinds sown a natural body and is raised a spiritual body. It's sown in weakness, is raised in power. It's sown in incorruption, is raised incorruptible. And then he was saying, when it's incorruptible, is sown in corruption and raised in incorruptible. So he was saying, when this corruptible shall put on incorruption and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. That's why he went on to say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death, sin is death, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what I was saying. Therefore, my beloved brethren, about being steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord, as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And there's another scripture. And Hebrews 6:10 says, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love that you show toward his name, that you minister and do minister. So God is faithful. So 1 Corinthians 10:13, there have no temptation taken you but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will also with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So we are serving a faithful God. Somebody said, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arm. So he can't fail. So that's the kind of God we're serving, the eternal God. Underneath his wings are everlasting strength. He's the solid rock. He's the great I am. He's the way. Like somebody said, let's talk about Jesus, the King of Kings. Is he the Lord of Lords, supreme throughout eternity? The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. And so we are glad to be here. So that's why James says, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. And that's what a lot of people ain't doing. You know, they're doing a whole lot of stuff to appear to be spiritual, but they're not giving substance. So you must be born again. So should you desire to call in, you can do so. Our guest call-in number is 929-477-2285. That is 929-477-2285. Should you be listening today, February 27th, 2018, to the live broadcast, which began at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. So on the last few broadcasts, trying to make it actually this year, trying to make it to let you know, should you be listening and should you be in the South Florida area, I have been relocated from Michigan, so I've been in the South Florida area for 14 months, and so I relocated, and I attend one of the churches, sister churches in the Pentecostal Assemblies of the World, where Bishop Charles H. Ellis III is the prelate, and he's the presiding bishop. And so this particular church where I am worshiping is Vision Worship Center. And so it's located at 1071 Northwest 31st Ave, Pompano Beach, Florida, 33069. That is Vision Worship Center, 1071 Northwest 31st Ave, Pompano Beach, Florida, 33069, where the Dr. Kevin Chandelou is the founder and the bishop. That is Dr. Kevin Chandelou. He is the founder and the bishop of Vision Worship Center. He is the senior pastor. So should you be in the South Florida area, you are welcome to attend one of our services. So we have our service at 9 a.m. on Sunday, and our solution studies, which is our Bible class and our prayer, every other Tuesday, and every other Tuesday prayer and Bible class, our solution studies. And also on the first Sunday of the month, every month, beginning this coming Sunday, every first Sunday of the month, our worship service will start at 7 a.m. And then, so the remainder of the month, our worship services will be at 9 a.m., with the exception of the first Sunday of every month, beginning March 1st, 2018, our worship service will be 7 a.m. on the first Sundays and 9 a.m. for the remainder of every month, unless otherwise notified. So we welcome you to attend one of our services at Vision Worship Center should you be in the South Florida area. So God bless you. May the Lord bless you and His face shine upon you. He lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace is our prayer. So we're continuing on in our Only Believe series, St. Paul's letter to Timothy, and then so the instructions to this young pastor to the believers. So we've been going through, and so we're in the sixth chapter of 1 Timothy. So today we're talking about fighting the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. And so got to preach and teach the word, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. And like I mentioned earlier when I came on in the broadcast, and that is we have to stay with the word. And that's why he was saying that his word shall stand forever. You know, not one jot or one tittle shall pass away until all be fulfilled, as the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So let as many servants as are under the yoke, count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefits of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. So he goes on to say, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt mind, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. So he's saying here about giving honor to our as many services are under the yoke, count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God be not blasphemed. And he was saying, you got believing masters, you do them service. And so because they're brethren, and because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit, these things teach and exhort. And so we know the kind of world that we're living in. So, I mean, you're supposed to you're supposed to do your whatever you do as unto the Lord, as he talks about that and when he wrote to the Ephesian church. So you don't have an attitude, and so toward your masters or your supervisor in the work world. So we know it's a rotten, it's a doggy dog a world out there. They call it the 9-to-5, and it's rough, because I mean, things that people do, and then I know my experience of it, and the thing of it is, it's a mind game. So what they do in corporate America, that's the word I wanted. So corporate America is no joke, and everybody is, they after that almighty dollar. So whatever they're doing, their product, they, you know, they're paying people, and they're promote, you got to promote your product. You either have a service, you know, that you're doing to help somebody. So when you're working, you got to have the right attitude. So I know that I'm a UAW member, because I still am. I'm retired, but I'm still a UAW member, and I have been for close to 50 years. So I know how it was. I worked at a UAW, which is United Auto Workers for short, company that was United Auto Worker, and the particular company had contract, and so that was who we were represented. We pay union dues. We were represented. You're supposed to go by the contract. And I worked at General Motors. It was the longest place that I've ever worked at for 30 years. So some people don't realize we know our jobs, whatever we are assigned to do, whatever department, whatever supervisor, we know who we answer to and all of that when you're in that kind of a setting, because it's like another world. But the thing is that the company want to do what they want to do too many times, and the union is right there to tell them, no, you got to go by the contract, because they figure they're in charge. They're the ones paying you. They want to do what they want to do. No, you have a, we call covenant. We have, you know, biblical times, but it's an agreement that you have. We call it a contract, and you got to go by that. We had two contracts, because I work for General Motors. We had two contracts. That is, you had your benefits and your wages and all of that, which was your national agreement, which was for everyone. Then your local agreement was shop rules, local rules, and work rules, we would call it, your particular location that you were at, depending on what you were manufacturing, you had work rules. So we had two agreements, the local and the national agreement. So you had good people, you had bad people. You had people that were arrogant and act like they own the place, and you had people that realized that they had a job, they had a responsibility, and they treated people like they were people. And so you had other supervisors that treated people that slave mentality, garbage. And we didn't just take that. So sometimes you were quiet, sometimes you weren't, you know, but you had the right, you didn't have to say nothing. You could just ask for your supervisor, and they knew that. So you have to do what is right. So that's what he is saying here. And so in other words, there's authority. So even in the church, just like I'm saying, and like I said, I don't care who don't like it, because some people they did that to Jesus. Who gave you the authority to do this or to do that? Even in this is my show, and I'm going to conduct my show accordingly. So I'm saying what the word says, and it don't matter who don't like it, because I'm working for God. I got to answer to him. So I'm going to buy the truth, like I said, Proverbs 23:23, and sell it not. You know, I'm going to say what he says. St. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. St. John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So that's what I'm going to do, and this is what he is doing here. So he was saying, as he goes on here, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. And so it is today. Some people, that's what their perspective is, what they promote, what is in the forefront of their mind, the way that they teach, is about your money, you know. And it's no, God requires the tenth and a free will offering, and anything else is up to us. You know, there's things that need to be met. There's a budget or whatever to each local assembly. And so that would be conveyed to members. If you can do a certain thing, you know, they would ask, if you can do this or that, it's asked of you to do it. There's no demand for you to do it. So the tithe is the tenth. That belongs to God. So where your blessing really comes in is not paying tithes. You know, that's God. You're stealing from him if you don't do that. But the blessing is in the free will offering. So the tithe and the free will offering. But so that's why I'm just kind of keying in on what I'm getting to. So he says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. So it's not contingent upon what you have and what you don't have, is exactly what that's saying. So he goes on, we brought nothing into this world. It is certain we can carry nothing out. Because some people are drunk on things. They're drunk on stuff, material things, period. I mean, yes, he gives us richly all things to enjoy. We're going to get to that. But, you know, gain is not godliness, because rich people, just like one of our late evangelists used to say, we can't beat the world with money. There's billionaires. I can name a couple of them, or two or three of them, actually. The Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, I mean, Warren Buffett, Bill Gates. There's those three people right there, the billions and billions of dollars. Even the man in the White House is a billionaire. So, I mean, some people got their money honest. Some people got their money jiving people, not paying people and all. But we can't beat the world when it comes to money. So what people do, you got all kinds of folks on TV calling themselves an apostles and bragging on where they live and hustling money out of people. I mean, that is not the way to do it, because it doesn't matter. You can live whatever you want. You got the money. You know, you don't fleece, like they say, you fleece a sheep, he's no good. a sheep is the most helpless animal. So you're supposed to be loyal to God. So, yes, you're loyal, but you're loyal to God. God is not putting, you know, nothing upon you, no burden upon you. Only a reasonable service, you know. We're supposed to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, in the book of Romans, the 12th chapter. So there's things that we have to do, but not to be burdened. They're gone crazy with these money lines and all of that. It's ridiculous, and that is not God. And money is not a seed. That's the dirtiest lie, and that's what my book that I'm writing, that is the dirtiest lie. And it's hard, but it's the truth, because seed is your offspring. Seed is seed that you grow, grain and food, vegetables, whatever it is, that is a literal seed, and the seed of an offspring. And there's one more seed, and that is Jesus made it plain. The seed is the word of God. So that's the battle. That's the thing that you got to fight today. I know I do. And that is, seed is not money. Money is never going to turn into seed, and seed is never going to turn into money. That is a lie. They came up with that sowing a seed lie some years ago, because people, they run off with the scripture in Isaiah when he literally talks about, as the rain and the snow coming down from heaven, that it may make the earth to bring forth and the bud. It water the earth, make it to bring forth and the bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. He's literally talking about snow. He's literally talking about rain. He's literally talking about farmers planting seed to grow wheat, because he's saying that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So in that case, just say it's wheat, that the seed is wheat that he's growing. So in other words, it's going to make the earth to bring forth in the bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So in other words, God did it. While the earth remained, seed time and harvest and summer, seed time and harvest and summer and winter and cold and heat and day and night shall not cease. This is after he had made the promise, after the flood, that his rainbow, that he was never going to destroy the earth anymore by water. And then that's why he was saying, while the earth remained, at seed time and harvest and summer and winter and cold and heat and day and night shall not cease. Genesis 8 and 22. So he promised. So that's what that's talking about. The seed is never money. Money is never seed. That's the fight that we have to fight through, because that's doing violence to the scriptures. So he was saying, we brought nothing into this world. It is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. And then he goes on. This is the most, sometimes people say money is the root of all evil. That is not true. He says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, have erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So actually, in reality, he's not even talking to other people. I mean, I remember that song, because I wasn't saved, and I still know it, you know, like they used to sing Money, 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 the OJs, for the love of money, you know, and then we got to have it, really need it and all that. Yes, we do need it, but I'm saying, so they do make the quote sometimes, for the love of money. And then they go on to say, money is the root of all evil, do funny things to some people. So, no, the love of money is the root of all evil. So it's actually, he wrote this to the church. And so Jesus made it plain during his earthly ministry in the book of Matthew, when he was saying, you can't serve two masters. You either cleave to the one hate the other, hold to the one, despise the other. Then he went on to make it plain what he was talking about. You cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon is money. Money is a master. A lot of people are going to be in the lake of fire over it. So even Wall Street, that's just a big casino. They're hustling people out of their money. I mean, do good. You know, you make. I mean, it's legal. It's a legalized gambling is what it is, because they have words that are their play words, and that is you're investing. You know, and so you got mutual funds. A lot of people cash bonds. And I forget the other, but how you grow your money, and then they take your money. When the investors got worried, and so it plunges, and then you lose money overnight. And then they come out with a lie, and I don't care, it is a lie, and you can't make me believe no other way. And that is, they say, oh, the market was correcting itself. No, somebody got the money, because when they say that your portfolio tanked, like in 08, the mortgage bubble busted. People had those mortgages, and they kept adjusting so high until they couldn't afford it. You know, people were happy. They got the keys. They got a house. So, I mean, it's a rotten, dirty world. And the bottom of it is the devil, and the bottom of it is the love of money. The love of money is the root of all evil. So, ain't correct in itself, because no money, when your so-called 401k tanked, then you lost money, but somebody got the money. The money didn't go down the toilet. It tanked. No, somebody got the money. It didn't leave the earth. So that's the kind of rotten world that we're living in. And so some people are just. That's why he's saying love of money is the root of all evil. So now this is a really technical point here, because he says he's talking about believers, which while some coveted after have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. So here it is, right here, what we are talking about today. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So now notice, like I said, this is a pastor. This is St. Paul. He had the authority, and he is instructing him. So I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Jesus Christ, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he goes on here to say, and if you've been listening to me down through the years, because some people still don't understand his eternal power and Godhead, which means is God who is the head of all things. And so it's only three times in the scriptures, in the book of Acts, it's in the book of Romans, and it's in Colossians. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, talking about Jesus Christ. And so he is, it's only one God, and so he has really three very important offices, and he's already fulfilled the office of the prophet. That's what the woman in the fourth chapter of St. John, the woman, Samaritan woman, that he met at the well. She was saying, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." So Messiah, which is called Christ, when he comes, he's going to tell us all things. He said, "I that speaketh unto thee am he." So he was the prophet. Now he is the priest that ever liveth to make intercession. So, like people say, he's praying for me. No, he ain't. He is praying through people. Why St. Paul said that we have not a high priest, or whoever the Hebrew writer was, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was tempted all points, tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. That's why he's saying Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So that's why St. Paul did write to the church at Rome. He was saying, we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit maketh intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he which searcheth the Spirit know what is the heart, know what is the mind of the Spirit. So what he's saying is the Holy Ghost is interceding through people. So that's why he told us that men ought always to pray, not to faint. Sometimes you got to intercede for somebody. When you intercede, you're not praying for yourself. You're interceding for someone else. That's what an intercessory prayer. So there's supplications. There's various kinds of prayers. So we have to pray all times. He told us in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, to pray without ceasing. So prayer is going on all the time in the church of God, in the body of Christ, in your spirit. No school, no Congress, no judge of this earth can stop you from praying if you have the Holy Ghost. I'm binding devils right now in the name of Jesus. I'm coming against them. That's why I'm putting this word out. The word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the asunder to the dividing of soul and spirits and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrews 4:12. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. The Hebrew writer goes on to say, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do, and that is the word of God. So you can't stop me. I don't have to open my mouth. I'm binding and cursing devils in the name of Jesus right now. And what is a curse? A curse is evil from the Lord. So God is against stupidity and foolishness from the pit of hell. So, the thief cometh for nothing, St. John 10:10, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. So we don't understand. Too many times, he don't just want to take out me or you. He want to take out many because he's a murderer from the beginning. He sinned from the beginning. That's what the Lord said. So Lucifer was a beautiful archangel. He was perfect in wisdom and beauty till the day that iniquity was found in him, in the 28th chapter of Ezekiel. And Isaiah, the 14th chapter, the writer says, a question, how art thou fallen from heaven, O son of the morning? You know, what he did, he was saying, I will do this. I will ascend into the north. I will be like the Most High. So you're going to be brought down to hell. So we have to realize that he is the enemy of righteousness. He is the prince of this world. So in other words, the world system, what I'm talking about right here, the system of the world, they'll do anything. People take out insurance policies on folks and then have them bumped off so they could get the money. That's lust, the love of money, exactly what I'm talking about. And so he says here what I was going to say when I was saying that he was the prophet, he was the priest, he is the priest right now that's ever living to make intercession. He's interceding. When people intercede for somebody, he's our unction, he's our inspiration, he's our utterance when we preach and when we teach. He's our anointing. And so he's going to be the king, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. That's what he's saying here. So should you desire to call in, if you're listening to this live broadcast on today, February the 27th, 2018, between the hours of 5 p.m. Eastern Time and 6 p.m. Eastern Time, you are welcome to call. Our call-in number is 929-477-2285. That is 929 877-227-2285. So we're going on here. So we're talking about fighting. So it's a fight. So you got the fight is not on the outside. The fight is on the inside. Because that's what he was saying after my departure in the book of Acts. Many going to arise. St. Paul was saying, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. So he says, they were weeping for him because they knew that they wouldn't see his face anymore because he was going to go to Rome, and he ended up dying a martyr, death of martyrdom. He went to Nero's chopping block. So he was saying, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me, not for me only, but unto all of them which love his appearing. So this is what we're doing. It's a fight of faith. So you got to keep the faith because there will not be another. So the apostles whom he chose, that's the foundation we're built upon, Ephesians 2 and 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And so it ain't no just have a bunch of people. So a lot of people have done a lot of stuff. Their words are empty. Some of these big churches, they don't want to say anything to hurt someone's feelings. That's not how it goes. I mean, Jesus didn't hold back. He was the example. He was the apostle of our profession, the bishop of our souls, the captain of our salvation. He showed us how to do it, and he was an example. And so we can see, if you follow the word, what happened. And I mean, it blows my mind when you look at what happened. Just like he in the book of Luke, when he was saying, he said unto them, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias. So that's talking about Elijah. When the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city in Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving, or that word means except, Naaman the Syrian. So catch this part. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. Wow, isn't that amazing? He just told them the word, and they rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill, whereunto the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he passing through the midst of them, went his way. In other words, he disappeared. They was going to throw him over the cliff head first. What did he do? Nothing but told them what the word of God says. So it's no different for us. That's what people don't like. I mean, you don't have to be a pastor to have authority in the apostolic church. That I'm in authority. I'm under authority, in authority. So I'm not out there just running all around. I have a pastor. I'm subject to him. Just like we say, we were taught, I was taught by the best. And one of our late presiding bishops, who was the direct heir to the first presiding bishop, the Garfield Thomas Haywood out of Indianapolis, Indiana, where he pastored, they taught us, you know, about authority and about preaching the word and about you haven't preached until you made them mad. So this is definitely an example of that, what I just read. They got mad because he preached the truth. And so he goes on here, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. So this is what I was making reference to earlier when I got started earlier in the broadcast, that he said that though they that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded. So in other, he's not against you having riches. And rich people don't have to work. Riches is abundance. Riches ain't you got three or four cars and you working almost 24 hours a day. That's stupidity is what that is. Rich people don't have to work. They do things because they want to have something to do. Their money is making money while they sleep. Their dividends and interest, they're making money because they have abundance. That's what riches is. So he was saying that they don't trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good. This is what he's saying. That's a good problem to have. Remember, Jesus said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. So, I mean, I think we think backwards because we want. We got our hands open. No, if you have to give, that means you are already blessed. Is what he's saying. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. So he was saying that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. And so this is what I was saying. Preach and teach the word, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, stay with the word, not making up stuff, naming out people be coming up with all kinds of stuff that I've seen, when they have their times they're trying to raise money. Well, if people can do it, they can do it. Don't make people feel bad. Everybody don't make the same amount of money. So I'm talking about over the years, some things I've seen. Then we had other things, what we would have, like it was a thermometer. This is way back in the 70s and 80s, like a thermometer, which was a building fund, which they had money in there that they were putting aside for the building because the Lord had said years ago to prepare for the increase. So that came to pass. So that little church, the church where I got saved at, we sold that. We built another building. Then I was there at that particular ministry in my 20th year. I went to another ministry where they were in the process of building, and so they build another church. So I've seen it where you got to hurry up and get to church if you want to get a seat or if you want to get a place to park. That's a good problem to have. I've seen it over the years. So that's the will of God that he will, who will have all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So he was saying, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and of oppositions of science falsely so-called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. So that's when he goes on to say, grace be with thee, amen. So we want to stay with the word, because by grace are we saved through faith, that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. So that's what we want. We don't want to just be selfish in with what we have, but we want to help someone else along the way. Thanks for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And so like I've asked, and I'm going to remind you, ask the question again, like St. Paul did to the disciples that were in Corinth. And that is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? God bless you.